Blog Talk Radio.
Been away for some time. I know it's been a while. I want to thank everyone for coming to look and see if I'm on. I appreciate you. Things have been crazy, I'm sure, for all the rest of you alike. I hope that this episode finds you in good health and happiness. So let's get to it. First, we're going to play a little bit of catch up. And we'll see if anyone shows up. I don't know if anyone will. Apologies for my I don't know if this is allergies or if I'm catching a cold or something. So let's hope not. Do you know the drill? But I do have something to read to you guys for Biden's first 50 days. All right, during our catch-up, we will talk about everything that is relevant, because it's all happening. It's all happening. I'm happy to tell you that I am back at my old job. I'm making a livable wage. So that's awesome. I'm pretty pleased, and I'm good at what I do. I kick ass at my job. So until I am off my 15-year probationary period, I cannot hardly do anything. So while we wait, I guess I'll just do whatever the fuck I want and continue doing whatever the fuck I want. Now she shared this. There we go. So as of March 8th, this came out. This is relevant. President Joe Biden laid out an ambitious agenda for his first 100 days in office, promising swift action on everything from climate change to immigration reform to the coronavirus pandemic. Now he hits his 50th day in office on Wednesday as his administration eyes a major milestone, final congressional passage of his massive $1.9 trillion coronavirus aid package. Now, unlike the last half-assed package that mostly went to rich people and special interests, this bill includes direct payments to millions of Americans and money to help with the White House's delivery on a number of Biden's biggest campaign promises, like reopening schools and getting more Americans vaccinated. 50 days in, Biden has made major strides on a number of key campaign pledges of his earliest days in office. Now, while others are still awaiting action, where he stands on some of his major promises, his completed goals so far, Biden has prioritized addressing the coronavirus pandemic during his first weeks in office, and the focus has paid off because he's on a pace to hit his goal of 100 million vaccine doses administered in his first 100 days as soon as the end of next week. The daily rate of vaccinations now averages more than 2 million shots, and more than 75 million doses have been administered since Biden was sworn in. My mother is one of those people. I'll be next in line to get my vaccination, and I'm going to make sure my kid gets vaccinated for it, too. You know, she's already autistic. What's the worst that can happen? She gets better at math? Now, if you could give me a vaccine and I just, like, have cool reactions like sticking to walls or something, I'm good. I'll take it. Now, Biden also took several early actions that fulfilled pledges on climate policy. He signed an executive order on Inauguration Day that revoked the permit for the Keystone Pipeline. Thank you. Big claps to that. Halted development of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and ordered the review of Trump-era rules on the environment. Great. Public health and science. The January 27th executive order halted new oil and gas leases on federal lands and offshore waters. Thank you. So far, he's doing a lot better than Trump did, so we're just going to give him what's due. That's a standing O right there. Thank you. It's a complete drastic difference of presidents. Okay? So, more on this. Biden also easily delivered on top campaign pledges that involved rolling back Trump administration moves on everything from climate change to immigration. Early on, the Biden administration rejoined the World Health Organization and the Paris Climate Accord. Thank you. Halted construction of a border wall. Yes. Ended travel restrictions of Muslim-majority countries. Yay. And created a task force to reunite families separated at the U.S. and Mexico border. That is awesome. So on immigration, Biden pledged to deliver a comprehensive reform bill to Congress within his first 100 days, and it was unveiled last month. Although Biden already has signaled an openness to a piece-by-piece approach if necessary. Now, Biden also issued an executive order directing the Homeland Security Secretary to preserve and fortify protections for young immigrants brought to the U.S. by their parents. Yay! So Biden also made some early moves to deliver on a pledge to tighten ethical standards in his administration, including a January 20 executive order imposing an ethics pledge on appointees governing activities such as lobbying and taking gifts, which included prohibiting political interference in the Justice Department. Good. In progress. Still other Biden promises remain in work in progress. Now Biden's national COVID-19 strategy pledge to establish 100 new federally supported vaccination centers across the nation by the end of February. So far, the administration is about 20 mass vaccination sites run end-to-end by the federal government and staffed by active duty troops deployed by the Pentagon. Overall, the administration says at least 441 vaccination sites are now federally supported.
Many of those were not new sites, but nearly all have been expanded capacity with additional federal resources. On immigration, Biden pledged to reverse the public charge rule put in place by the Trump administration to discourage immigrants from using public benefits. To streamline the naturalization process and to reform the U.S. asylum system within his first 100 days. An executive order he signed in early February directs the relevant agencies to review those policies and recommend changes within 60 days. Now, more on this, the administration has had some moves to reform the asylum system, now including a move by the Department of Homeland Security on Biden's first day in office to suspend a Trump-era program requiring asylum seekers to wait in Mexico while their claims were under review. But Biden has yet to articulate a plan to manage asylum flows beyond proposing that billions of dollars he spent to address root causes in Central America. Now, the president has also kept in place pandemic-related powers that allow his administration to immediately expel people at the border without an opportunity to seek asylum. Now, Biden aides have said they have no immediate plans to end the authority, which Trump introduced a year ago using an obscure 1944 public health law. Biden also promised to end the long-term detention of migrant families. Immigration and Customs Enforcement signaled last week its plans to discontinue the use of one such facility, but ICE will continue to hold families for 3 days or less at two or other facilities in Texas, and the Biden administration is expanding capacity at the number of long-term facilities that hold immigrant children. To address an ongoing surge of unaccompanied minors at the border. On climate change, Biden pledged to establish enforceable commitments from other nations to reduce emissions in global shipping and aviation, and to convene a climate world summit to discuss new and more ambitious pledges to address climate change within his first 100 days. The U.S. will hold such a summit on April 22nd, Earth Day. Reopening America's schools is one of Biden's major campaign promises that's proven tougher to execute, in part because the decision is on whether to return in-person learning is left up to the local officials and teachers and unions after some back and forth over the details of his goal. Biden said last month that his 100-day mission was to have most elementary schools open 5 days a week for in-person learning. My kid's back in school. It is a little worrisome, but so far so good. And I got her flu shot, so she should be okay. Yay, as long as I don't get sick, I'm good, because no one really wears a mask at my place. So when they come in, it's like, you know, you're risking it. I wear a mask. But, you know, it's hot back there, so, you know, sometimes I fucking have to take that shit off because I can't breathe. Because I'm working in hot-ass shit. So anyhow, the month he directed states to prioritize vaccinating teachers and announced he was directing federal resources towards vaccinating teachers in March. Now, the Biden administration hopes that with the passage of the coronavirus relief bill and distribution of millions in aid for schools to improve safety measures, teachers will feel more comfortable returning to an in-person learning. According to Burbio, which tracks school reopening plans, about 47% of kindergarten through 12th grade students have access to in-person school every weekday. Awaiting action, the Biden administration has yet to take significant action on criminal justice reform, aside from an executive order terminating private prison contracts. Biden pledged to set up a police oversight board within his first 100 days, but there's been no clear movement in that direction so far. So, other 100-day pledges also awaiting movement, creating a cabinet-level working group focused on promoting union participation and ordering an FBI review of issues with gun purchase background checks. Some of Biden's 100-day pledges will require congressional action, like his promise to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act and increase taxes on corporations. Biden also promised to make passage of the Equality Act, which bars discrimination on basis of sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity, a priority in its first 100 days that the bill has passed the House, but not the Senate. And some of his promises are waiting on Biden's campaign secretaries to be confirmed by the Senate on gun control. Biden said he would direct his attorney general to deliver recommendations to restructure key Justice Department agencies to more effectively enforce the nation's gun laws. He also pledged to have his Secretary of Housing and Urban Development lead a task force to create recommendations for making housing a right for all Americans. Both his Attorney General nominee, Merrick Garland, and his nominee to lead the House Department, Rep. Marsha Fudge, are expected to win confirmation this week. I see a very good president who's trying very hard to address all the things that America has been failing to address for so many years. We've spent more years at war than we have almost existing as a country. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. So, let's see. What is our weekly forecast? It is hot today. So this week, from the 7th to the 13th, since I was working, I was not on this week, really, because I worked, and it's been pretty intense work, so sorry, guys. So the new moon occurred, or will occur, sorry, on the 13th, Saturday, at 5:21 a.m. Now, this new moon in Pisces marks the beginning of a new cycle occurring on Saturday morning. It's a good time to commit to personal goals that express the positive energies of the sign of the fish. This can include taking a leap of faith, accepting imperfections in ourselves and in others as a different kind of perfection, starting a project that requires imagination and visualization skills, consciously putting time aside for peaceful and rejuvenating activities, and sharing a dream with another. With this potent Pisces energy, we have the chance to take time and make important changes in our lives. Now, this new moon especially is creative right now, and romantic with its alignment to Venus and Neptune. Ew. Venus and Neptune are approaching a conjunction in the sign of Pisces. Now the major bodies are direct, contributing to a feeling of moving forward. Now Ceres is in conjunct with Chiron and Aries at this time of this new moon, so it's lending a sense that we're growing and helping one another through sensitivity to our vulnerabilities. Now, this phase of the moon occurs at 23 degrees and 4 minutes of Pisces, affecting people born with personal planets and points at approximately 19 to 27 degrees of the mutable signs Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, most significantly. While the chart above is excellent for getting a strong sense for the chart pattern and major themes, the following alternate chart you should look at should start with the additional bodies, Chiron, asteroids, Eris, and things like that. So if you want to go have a look, check out where you are at in your chart of the 13th for Pisces here. Now, last week we had our quarter moon, which occurred Friday, March 5th at 8:30 p.m. Now that Friday evening, with the last quarter moon exact in the sun of Pisces, is forming a square with the moon in Sag. Now last quarter moon phase points to some sort of conscious of crisis. Yeah. So after basking in the awareness symbolized by the full light of the moon at the time of last week's full moon, we disperse our knowledge and come to a point where we need to sort out what works for us and what doesn't in preparation for this next week's new moon, which is occurring, which something will be born once again. Now, this was not the best time to start a major project, as the decreasing light of the moon symbolizes a descent into unconsciousness. It's time to begin finishing up the details of that which was conceived at the last new moon, and we should consider the revelations we had and what it meant to us and what to do next. So this last phase of the moon occurred at 15 degrees and 42 minutes of Sag, square the sun at 15 degrees and 42 minutes of Pisces, affecting people born with personal planets and points approximately 14 to 18 degrees of immutable signs, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces most significantly. Thank God, nothing to do with me. Now. Due to now, on March 13th, Venus will conjunct Neptune, which is new and fresh beginnings on romantic levels, characterize this transit. Heightened sensitivity to an awareness of beauty and spirituality. We are easily influenced, seducible, and seductive, and given to strong powers of imagination. We are more attuned to the world of beauty and romance. Gentleness with others, as is the best way to harness this energy. A magical time on a romantic and social level, but it could also be a confusing or illusory influence as well. Psychic openness and compassion. Venus will parallel Neptune, March 13th to the 14th, heightened sensitivity to an awareness of beauty and spirituality. We are easily influenced, again, seducible, seductive, and given to strong powers of imagination. We are more attuned to the world of beauty and romance. Now, gentle with others is the best way to harness this energy and magical time on the romantic and social level. But it could also be a confusing and illusory influence as well. Psychic openness and compassion. It's hard. Venus semi-square Uranus on March 15th. Uncertainty about the desire to be close to someone. Freedom versus closeness. The desire to experiment in the romance department may be fleeting and ultimately unsatisfying or frustrating. Venus semi-square Saturn, March 16th to 17th. Feelings of isolation, of not getting what you really want, and not being loved the way that you want to be loved can get in the way of pleasant relations with our partners. Venus sextile Pluto, March 17th to 18th, such a subtly powerful and uplifting time for romantic and sexual relationships. Jesus. New insights into relationships and love, strong attractions. Fuck. Too much. Now Venus conjuncts the Sun, March 25th and 6th. Good relating is the focus here. Now, although some may find this energy superficial in that surface charm, diplomacy and harmony is the goal. A pursuit of pleasure is emphasized. Venus semi-square Jupiter, March 26th to 27th. We experience a strong desire for more pleasure in our lives, which can be excessive. Take care not to overstate your feelings or to set up unrealistic expectations in your partnerships. Very, very, very crazy. So the moon is waning this week until the new moon on the 13th, which is considered favorable for new beginnings and with exceptions. The moon is waxing after the new moon on the 13th, considered generally favorable for new beginnings, but also with exceptions. Blah. So be careful with the things that you ask for, wish for, or conjure up in these hours. Make sure you are paying attention to your moon cycles and your little windows that open up. Well, that's the tea for meow. I'll probably get back on later. I'll be on, what day is it today? No, it's Thursday. Yeah, I'll be on tomorrow at 9, probably right after she gets on the bus. So I don't go in until 4 o'clock. So I will be on tomorrow, and we will be resuming our regular programming over the weekend. I'm just getting acclimated back to my old job. And it was tiring this week. So, but I'm pretty pleased with where I am. I'm fine. I'm where I'm supposed to be, I guess, at this moment in time. So I hope everyone has a great day. And if you hear this episode, I hope it finds you in a good place in life. And if it doesn't, I hope it gets you in better spirits. So that's the tea. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't go anywhere unless you have to. And Black Lives Matter. Yes, that's right, guys. I say it. Black Lives Matter, y'all. Say mask. Bye.